been standing at the edge of the water. Hey, my kids love that movie. Don't trip. So I told them, I'm going to where Moana's from. But that's not entirely true because she's from Maui, right? She's from Maui. Is that where she's from? No? Is that true? Is that true? Is that story true? It's not true? Oh, man. Tahiti's just made up? All that's made up? Man, I've been living the lie for the last year, my brother. I've been living the big lie, man. Good grief, man. Well, I'm good. I'm happy to be with you guys tonight, man. Who's tired? Let's be real. Who's tired? Man, you're super tired, huh? Well, right now, let me see. What's the time over there, Brother Ali? Man, you got this thing cracked up, man. What's the time? Is it 10 o'clock? Is it 10 o'clock? 9:30? All right. Till midnight. All right, so back in California, who knows what time it is in California? What time is it? Right now. What time is it in California? Right now. What time is it? Right now. It's 12:30, all right? 12:30, all right? So I got up at 5 a.m. to come here, and it's 12:30. That's right. So I'm going to preach to you, and then we're going to have some ice cream and some chocolate. Are we going to have ice cream or no? Who knows if we're going to have ice cream or not? Am I just missing? Okay, we're going to have some chocolate brownies or whatever that is, okay? And if you're from California, sometimes they don't put the right stuff in all the brownies. But so we'll have some brownies tonight, right? Hopefully we won't stay awake the whole night. And, man, that's good. Well, I want to thank all the camp counselors. Man, all the camp counselors, seriously. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you. And thank you for your work. Thank you for your sacrifice. Listen, the kitchen crew, a lot of the brothers and sisters that come to help you out this week, there are people that have full-time jobs, and they took their time to their vacation time to come minister to you, and so they're really the unsung heroes this week. I am privileged to preach to you, all right? I am privileged to preach to you. You're not privileged to hear me this week, all right? So I'm so thankful to be here. It humbles me that God would allow me to come again. Last year I missed you guys, but I'm humbled to be here again with you. And hopefully the Lord will use something throughout the week that will help you, okay? Something that you can take back home with you, something that will be memorable, and something that hopefully will change your life. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you for the invitation, Pastor Gross. And I do love him, and I admire him, and just the years of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And also Brother Ali, I love him, admire him, and I count them my dear friends in the ministry. In the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible tonight, go really quickly, all right? Really quickly. I know we're in time constraints. Tomorrow we'll be freshening up. We'll be ready to go tomorrow morning and then tomorrow night. But I got to start this study tonight, okay? For the next four nights, we're going to be in the book of Ruth, okay? So for the next four nights, we're going to be in the book of Ruth. So go to Ruth chapter number one. Ruth chapter number one, please. Ruth chapter number one, and Ruth chapter number one. Ruth chapter number one, please. Ruth chapter number one, all right. Joshua judges Ruth, all right. So find Joshua, judges, and then Ruth, all right. Right at the front of the Bible there. Ruth chapter number one. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something specific, write it down, okay? So if you're like me, I just listen to preaching sometimes, and I'll just go home and forget, and I'm the one preaching it, all right? So listen, so if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, write it down, all right? Write it down, meditate on it, and sometimes when you're hearing preaching, the Holy Spirit will speak to you about something that the preacher's not even talking about. Has that ever happened to you before? He's preaching on something else, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you about something totally different. And I appreciate the Lord for that, because he tailor fits every message individually for us. All right? Ruth chapter number one, look what she says in verse 8. Check it out. All right? Check it out in verse number 8. Look what the Bible says in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house." Watch what she says. "The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead." with the dead. That is one of the saddest statements in Ruth chapter number 1. I know you're familiar with the story. I know you grew up reading the scripture. I know that you understand. We have prayed. We have sought the Lord. I'm going to jump right into it. At the end of the book of Judges, the Bible says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king in Israel. It was God's will to have a theocracy over the children of Israel. That means that God wanted to be the king. God wanted to be the ruler. God wanted to be in charge. God told him, if you want a king, if you desire a king, he's going to make your sons fighting battles. And what that means is that you're going to lose your children over fighting different battles and different wars, because it would no longer be God that would fight the wars. It would be you that would be in charge. The Bible says there's no king, there's no ruler. Throughout this time, everybody's doing whatever they want to do. All right, there's nobody in charge. If you feel like doing it, just do it. There's no black, there's no white, there's no wrong, there's no right, there's just whatever I want to do. Right throughout this time, the Bible says that there's a man whose name is Elimelech. Now, interesting enough, the name Elimelech means my God is king. My God is king. And the Bible says that Elimelech, my God is king, takes his wife, her name is Naomi, pleasant one. My God is king, takes pleasant one, his wife. And the Bible says that throughout the time of Israel, they lived in a spot in a city called Bethlehem, Judah. So let's say Bethlehem, Judah on three. One, two, three.
Bethlehem, Judah.
If you know the Bible, I know you do, and you know the translations, you know that Bethlehem, Judah means house of bread. This was the first Panera bread in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's house of bread. The Bible says that Elimelech, my God is king, takes his wife, Naomi, pleasant one, their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And the Bible says that there's a time of famine. You know the story. Famine means they ain't got no food. I am hungry and I want to eat food, Dad. Naomi comes to her husband. My God is king. I'm so hungry. Two boys, you came here hungry. There's no food throughout the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And so the Bible says that Elimelech takes his wife and his two sons, Mahlon, Chilion, and the Bible says that they sojourn. They sojourn into a land called Moab. Let's say Moab on three. One, two, three.
Moab.
Woo! Just one stop short of the promised land. That's what Moab means. So they go to Moab. Now here's what happens in Moab. Immediately in verse number 3, I'm just kind of giving you the whole story of chapter 1 just to save us some time, okay? Do you trust that I studied chapter 1? You trust I'm telling you the truth? Okay, good. If not, you can go back and read it in the Bible like the Bereans, okay, and say, Brother Sammy, you're wrong on this, okay? Now, chapter 3, here's what happens. The Bible says that when they sojourn to Moab, now the reason they're going to Moab is because they ran out of food. They used to live in a house of bread. Well, the bread ran out. Everything ran out. My God is king. He forgot who his king was. The dude's going to a faraway land. He's going to a place that they're total strangers. And here's what happens. Verse 3, something crazy happens. Not only does Naomi have to deal with a famine, that means she's got nothing to eat for her and her two sons. Now the Bible says that Elimelech dies. Wait a minute. So, first of all, God allowed famine to come through Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. My God is king. Elimelech makes the wrong decision. Decision that led to his death. Let's say that together. Okay, ready? One, two, three. A decision that led to his death. He made the wrong decision. He takes off of Bethlehem, Judah. He says, my God is king, but I don't know where you're at, God. My children are starving. My wife needs help. We don't have money for the rent. We don't have money for water. We don't have money for any type of bread. I mean, where are you, God? My God is king, but now I'm my own king, and I'm going down to Moab, and here's what happens. Verse 3 says, Elimelech dies. So follows the story. Mahlon and Chilion, man, they're teenagers. They're adults. They marry women from Moab. The first woman, her name is Orpah. What's her name?
Orpah.
Orpah. She's got a famous talk show. She's a billionaire now, okay? And the second, her name is what? Her name is what?
Ruth.
So you got Orpah and you got what?
Ruth.
Stay with me, okay? I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Orpah and Ruth. The Bible says something else. I mean, it just goes from bad to worse. To worse. You say, what happened? Well, the Bible says that Mahlon and Chilion died as well. How long were they in Moab? The Bible says the space of 10 years. So for 10 years, they're journeying into a land they don't know anybody. 10 years, these sons get married to the Moabitess women, and they serve other gods. They have other cultures. They're working there for 10 years. Both of these guys die. Woo! Well, Orpah and Ruth start crying. Oh, Naomi, Naomi. Oh, we love you so much, Naomi. And she goes, girls, go back to your gods. Go back to your people because the Almighty has dealt very unkindly with me. The hand of the Lord is against me. Just go back to your people. Okay, go home. Well, these women are crying like, no, go home. On their way home, Ruth says, wait a minute. Naomi, your people are going to be my people. Your gods are going to be my God. And wherever you die, that is exactly where I'll die. Wherever you live is exactly where I'll live. I believe in that moment, Ruth was a New Testament term, was saved. I believe she said, I'm turning from this wicked gods of the Moab, of my people, the Moabites, and I'm trusting in the only God, Jehovah, the only one that is self-sufficient, Jehovah, the creator, Jehovah, the one who spoke the worlds into existence. I'm turning my back on Moab, and I'm going for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what happens. The Bible says that she cries out. She says, listen, Ruth, go back. She goes, no, I'm staying with you. Now on the way home, 10 years later, she shows up, and you know what people start to do? Oh, is that Naomi? Oh, is that Naomi? Girl she used to hang out with, this is 10 years later. Her friends, they notice her. And you know what she told them? Don't call me Naomi, but call me what? Mara. Mara, because the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. Time out. God did not make the decision for you to go off into a strange land. Time out. If you'll study this, I want to give us time so you guys can relax a little bit. But if you study this, three different times, she says, he dealt unkindly with me, the hand of the Lord is against me, and God has dealt bitterly with me. Hold on. God didn't make you, Naomi, go to Moab. God did not make you turn your back on God. And by the way, what she was really needing in Moab, they got back in Bethlehem. You say, why? Because the Bible says that God visited Bethlehem, Judah one more time. And how did he visit them? The Bible says he gave them bread to eat. And so they heard that God was blessing the place where they were living. God was blessing Bethlehem, Judah, and how could he not? He is the bread of life, and the bread of life would certainly give bread to the house of bread. And what am I saying to you tonight? Sometimes the decisions that you make will lead you down a wrong road. I'm telling you, the road that will lead to death, the Bible says, so that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth death, and death when it is finished, the Bible says, bring it forth what? Death. A sin when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And I want to say to you guys tonight, listen, the decisions that you make right now, throughout this week, when you go home at your church, when you hear your pastor preach, or your youth pastor, or your Sunday school teacher, or a godly mom, a godly dad, you need to make the decision to say, by God's grace, I am going to stay in Bethlehem, Judah. I'm not going to get up and go. Even when I don't see the hand of God working in my life, even when things don't make sense, even when my heart is broken, even when things I cannot understand, the Bible or prayer or purity or all these things, I'm going to stay right in the middle of Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going to wait till God blesses my life again. I'm going to wait till God answers my prayer. I'm going to wait till I read the scripture and the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. I'm going to keep being pure. I'm going to keep abstaining from the things of the world, and I'll trust God even when it's hard to do it. Why? Because if you make the wrong decision, it will eventually lead to death. Now, here's what happens, right, Priscilla? You're getting older, raised in a Christian home, and sometimes on the outside, the Moabites, they have pool. Come over. It's fun over here. You know what I deal sometimes with? I used to be a youth pastor, right? And I've heard this countless times. I've heard this so many times. They'd say something like, Brother Sammy, that happened to her, but it's not going to happen to me. If I had a dollar for every time a teenager told me that. I had a young man in the office several years ago. Brother Sammy, yeah, don't be such a fanatic. Like, why do I have to be in church? Like, why do I have to read my Bible? Like, I'm a good person. I don't do drugs. I don't have any kids out of wedlock. I got a career. And what he was saying is that I'm a morally good person. I'm doing right. I'm not going to say his name, but this person, what he never thought would happen to him, he's out of church. He's got two kids, two different women. He can barely hold a job down. He does drugs. Every adult in this room that has been in church for any amount of time can tell you of people like that. It'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me. And so I come here this week, and I see the faces of beautiful girls and handsome men, and I implore you, and I'm begging you, and I'm preaching to you. Naomi, Elimelech went to Moab. He forgot who his king was. He took life into his own hands. Verse 3, he's dead. His two sons are dead now. Mahlon and Chilion would still be alive if daddy decided to stay in Bethlehem, Judah. You say, well, my decisions only hurt me. That's not true. Look at me, young ladies. That's not true. If you make the wrong decision in life, it'll mess you up, but there'll also be somebody else behind you that'll be brokenhearted. There'll also be a mom or a dad or an uncle or an aunt or a youth pastor or someone that invested in your life that'll be weeping in the middle of the night because you made the wrong decision. Young man, you say, well, who cares if I know? Here's the truth. The Bible says that Naomi said of herself, I went out what? Full, and the Almighty has brought me back what? Empty. What did she say? I went out full, and God brought me back what? Empty. Now, can I just take this out of context for a little bit? Can I take it out of context? If we are too full of ourselves, then we will indeed be empty of God. What are you full of tonight? What are you full of tonight? Are you full of pornography? If you were to check your phone, what's the history on your phone tonight? Cell phone use is killing not only teenagers, but also young adults. What's on your phone, young man, young lady? Snapchats that you're sending to each other or people are sending to you, do they please the Lord? What are you full of? You can have camp every day of your life, but if you're full of sin, if you're full of the world, if you're full of self, if you're full of pride, then there will be no room for God in your life. Does that make sense? She said, I went out full and I came back empty. Elimelech's dead. Mahlon's dead. Chilion is dead. Why are these three men dead? Listen. You know why they're dead? Because in verse number one, Elimelech, verse two, he sojourns to a different country. He made the wrong decision. You know where he should have stayed? Where should he have stayed? Should have stayed at home. Bethlehem, Judah, he should have stayed at home. I'm going to tell you this tonight. Don't forget it. You'll never regret staying close to God. You'll never regret staying close to God. You will never regret staying close to God. You will never regret staying close to God. You won't look back when you're 25 and think, I can't believe that I stayed close to God. No. You'll look back throughout the years and think, thank God that I stayed close to God. These people are dead because they made the wrong decision. They get here preaching about this all day long. I can tell you 10 other illustrations, but I wanted to be quick tonight. Listen, whenever you don't understand what's going on in your life, because I can't blame Elimelech. He's a grown man. He needs to provide for his family. There's going to be times in your life, young ladies, young men, that you're just not going to know what's going on. You say, what do you mean? So here my mother is. She's a young mother. She's got two kids, a 9-year-old and a 1-year-old, 10-year-old and a 1-year-old. Husband walks out on her. Husband just walks out. He's a gambler. He's a drinker. He's a womanizer. He's gone. He's gone. Mother had not to go away from God. Mother had to get close to God. Listen to me. Trust me on this one. If my mother would have chosen to go to Moab, if she would have chosen to go to Moab, I guarantee that 20 years later, I would not be preaching at this camp. I guarantee. Because it would have been her death and also the death of her two children. So an easy decision would have said, well, I have to work on Sundays. You're going to public school. We're stopped going to church. We're done because my husband walked out on me. Hard decision. I'm going to work a job that's going to require me to work 12-hour shifts. I'm going to work a job that's going to require me to go in at 7 a.m. in the morning, get off at 7 o'clock at night. And I'm going to do the best that I can to put food on the table, put these kids, bad kids, in a Christian school, and I'm going to give them to God. That's where life gets really hard. You don't know what's going on. You have no idea what's going on. Some of you have been through some incredible hurt. Some of you have been through some incredible hurt and pain. But here's what I'm here to tell you tonight. When you cannot understand what God's doing in your life, don't make a decision that's going to lead to your death. Because if you make a decision, the wrong decision, it's going to lead to your death. But if you make the right decision, it eventually leads you to life everlasting. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. I close now. I'm done. I told you I was done. Is there somebody here tonight that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? You've never had an encounter with God. You've never asked Him to be your Savior. Everything that we preach about, that we teach about, none of it will make sense to you because you're not saved. You don't know Christ. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. We love Jesus because He first loved us. Right? Right? That makes sense. I'm not trying to buy my way to heaven tonight. I'm not trying to earn my way to heaven tonight. Thank God. Thank God tonight. If I died, I would be absent from this body and present with the Lord. All my righteousness are as filthy rags. I cannot earn my way to heaven. I cannot lose God's favor tonight. And I can't earn God's favor. It is simply by the grace of Almighty God that I'm here tonight. And if I'm here tomorrow, it'll be by His grace. And if I don't fall in sin and wreck my life one day, it'll all be by the grace of God. And if God wants to use me, it'll all be for the grace and by His grace of God. And if God raises up children underneath my seed to serve Him and to proclaim His name, to live for Him, it won't be because I deserved it. The only reason that that will happen is because of the grace of God. That is it. That is it. And so I ask you tonight, will your decision lead you to death or will it lead you to life? Because Elimelech, he's dead, and so are his two sons. Just take a moment right now. Out of reverence, we'll just close our eyes, we'll bow our heads out of reverence, but I want you to take a moment and think about it. If you journey to the country of Moab, it's not a respecter of persons. You will die.